Almighty God, when people are knit together in one holy church, the body of Christ our Lord, grant us grace to follow your blessed saint in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 24 responsively. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein.
For it is she who founded the mountains, and the maker of the rivers.
Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is wrong.
They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and a just reward from the God of their salvation.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is a reading from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The word of the Lord. The Holy
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. This is one of my favorite gospel stories. You can just see this dramatic scene unfolding before your eyes. A crowd of mourners standing on a hillside in front of a cave, the graveside mourners. The sisters of the deceased crying, grieving for their brother. All the neighbors and friends, the town folks gathered around, standing close, consoling the two women who are grieving the death of their brother, kind of wondering what's going to happen next. And a body, now dead for 4 days, wrapped tightly in the traditional burial strips of cloth, this body creating a stench. And here comes Jesus onto the scene. He's grieving and upset himself. He notices the crowd, but his eyes focus on Martha and Mary, his dear friends, who are mourning. Jesus is confident in his prayer, and soon this scene of sorrow turns into a scene of joy. You probably have an image in your mind of this scene, either from a children's Bible with a picture of this, or maybe your family Bible had paintings, reproductions of the paintings of the masters. I have in my mind the scene from our family Bible. The hillside, Lazarus and Jesus, the crowd behind, Jesus standing maybe 10 feet from in front of Lazarus, who is wrapped like a mummy. In my child's eyes, this is what a mummy looks like, wrapped tightly in those white strips of cloth and not able to move much and not quite among the living. Those burial cloths still bind him. They keep him from celebrating his new life. He doesn't quite look happy to be alive. He's tied up. He is not fully restored to his loved ones. He has not regained the life that he had with his family and friends. And then Jesus makes this miracle complete with his final command, unbind him and let him go free. Unbind him. What powerful words. These words were not just spoken to Lazarus. They're spoken for the whole crowd of people to hear, that crowd that was so eager to see what was going to happen. They weren't spoken just for Lazarus' sake, but for the sake of the crowd, Jesus said these words. And they are not just spoken for all of them. They are spoken for all of us as well. You know, when we read the gospel, the living good news of Jesus Christ, it's not just a story about something that happened 2,000 years ago. We listen to the gospel and peel away the layers until we can see that story in our own life. We peel back the meaning until we are in that story. This is our story too. Jesus' entire ministry was focused on bringing life to the world, to the whole world. Maybe if we peel back the layers of this story, we can see that Lazarus is not the only one who is wrapped up tightly in strips of cloth that bind him. Perhaps those burial cloths were binding other people too. Maybe those cloths of binding were hanging on Mary and Martha as well, and on the crowd of people who had gathered around them. Maybe they were bound as well. Perhaps we can see, as we peel back the layers of this story, that we are bound, that we're tied up pretty tight ourselves. Not with linen strips of burial cloths, but we are bound just the same. We're bound by those things that keep us from living as we were meant to live. Perhaps it's fear that binds you. Fear of making a mistake or looking foolish in front of our friends is a fear. Or being found out that we're less accomplished than our reputations would indicate. Maybe we're afraid of letting go of something that we cherish. We tell ourselves that it's just stuff, but our hearts ache at the thought of the loss of our things. Maybe it's not things, but maybe it's a relationship that we fear losing. Maybe our marriage is falling apart, and we're so afraid that we don't do anything about it. Too often, our fears bind us. Our fears paralyze us, keep us from seeking help, keep us from trying new things. Maybe it's not fear. Maybe it's bitterness that binds you. We are afraid to let go of a hurt that we've suffered a long time ago and that's been wrapping us in pain for a way too long time. We are unwilling to forgive, unwilling to move beyond the hurt to healing. Or is it pride that binds us? We know we're better than some others. We know we're better than the people around us. We've judged them, and we know. We've judged them by their clothes or by their job. We've judged them by their church or by their church attendance. We've judged them by their political affiliation. Our prejudices and our stereotypes keep us bound as we draw tight little circles, knowing just whom we will and will not let in. Maybe it's shame that binds us and causes us to be immobile. We are too convinced that we are unworthy, that we don't even give others a chance to know us or to love us. We're convinced that they aren't going to like us, so we hide behind some mask or another, and we are bound. We're bound by low self-esteem. We're bound by depression. We're bound by loneliness. Now, I can't help but think in these days of the people of our county who have lost so much, lost homes and animals, property, the lives of friends and family since these wildfires began. You probably know somebody who's lost something in these last weeks. Maybe it was only a temporary eviction or the complications that many of us suffered from trying to breathe through the smoke and the ash. But there is a great deal of grief and sadness, and it can be simply overwhelming. It can bind us. Even those of us who did not lose property or homes or lives, even those of us who are just fine suffer from this. We suffer a sadness. We suffer anxiety in situations like this. Our hearts are broken from what is lost. Maybe a favorite spot in the wilderness. Maybe that mountain home. We grieve as well. And the desire and the energy to do anything, and there's so much that needs to be done, but the desire and the energy is simply gone. We're immobile. We're bound. But this is the gospel. This is good news for us today. The good news is that no matter what binds us, Jesus is coming to us and setting us free. Jesus is giving the command that whatever binds us is to be removed. Jesus invites us to live as we were meant to live, to be alive, to be unbound, to be fully alive, to be free. And this is no simple little wimpy request on Jesus' part. The gospel writer indicates the power and the might that Jesus uses to make this statement, unbind him. He says he is deeply grieved and that he calls out in a loud voice. Jesus wants us to be fully alive, not bound, not unable to live. There's no question about it. Jesus wants us to come out of those places of despair. What Jesus did for Lazarus, Jesus does for all of us, unbinds us from those things that hold us back. Jesus does for us what he did for Lazarus. He sets us free. This is All Saints Day, a day when we remember those who have died and who now are in the communion with God, who are the communion of the saints. This is also one of the days in the church year that the church suggests that we celebrate baptism. We are delighted that we have been able to do that today. In the celebration of the sacrament of baptism, we are all reminded that we have a place in this communion of saints. We stand among all of those people of God that form that great procession, that procession that goes ahead of us, and that procession that will continue and follow behind. On All Saints Day, we are invited to see ourselves as fully alive, unbound, set free. We are reminded in the words that we heard spoken over Tom this morning that we who are baptized are the precious, beloved, free children of God. On All Saints Day, we find ourselves celebrating with all of the saints at the River of Life, eating with them at this table that tells us that there is a feast to come, a feast which has no end. It's not just Lazarus who hears his name being shouted out. Each of us hears our own name as well. Tom, Holly, Gary, Don, Joetta, Leonard, Ken. Each of you, hear your own name called out. You are a child of God. Lift up your heads and live. Be fully alive. Be unbound. Don't wait to become a saint when you're dead. And when you join that heavenly chorus, be a saint today. You are called today in this gospel reading. You are called to be alive and to be well and to be whole. You don't need to be bound with the burial cloths of fear or bitterness or shame. You don't need to be bound by guilt or by loss or worry. You don't need to be bound. You don't need to be bound at all, because Jesus has set you free. You are loved and embraced. You are called out to be with the living, with the body of Christ, with the communion of saints. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be filled with doubts. We are free to let go of those hurts that have affected us. We are free to reach out in love and compassion to those who need our help, to reach out to those who are in trouble. We are free to add our voice to the voice of Jesus Christ, calling for others to be unbound. We are free to be the communion of saints. And we aren't alone. We have a great company of saints who have gone before us, several whose names are listed here in this place of honor. We remember these men and women who have died since last All Saints Day. We remember Carl and James, Dorothy, Alan, Selma, and Eva. We remember them and all of our loved ones who have died, and we hold on to our faith in the resurrection. We don't have to stay wrapped up in our fears and our insecurities, because we are free to live in the faith and the truth of the resurrection. We don't have to stay tied up in grief and sadness and shame, because God has come among us to wipe away every tear from our eyes and set us free from whatever binds us. Through Jesus Christ, we live in the land of the living. On this mountain, says the prophet Isaiah, or we should say here, on these cliffs, this day, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. God will feed us with God's own self, the very bread of life. On this day, God comes to us with grace unbounded, to unbind us, to let us be free to be the people that God has created us to be, free to be who and whose we are, the beloved, precious, and free children of God. Amen.